You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Ali Moreno and Stevie Nichol. Surprise, surprise, we start today's show with Manchester United. Course, they're desperate to get bodies in before the transfer window shuts at the end of the season. The latest player linked to a move to Old Trafford is US international Christian Pulisic. Obviously not getting a lot of minutes at the moment under Thomas Tuchel. Looking to get some playing time ahead of the World Cup in November. But will it happen? Well, here to give us some insight, we welcome in Frank LaBeouf, James Ollie and Rob Dawson to the show. Rob, let's start with you. United, are they genuinely interested?
Yeah, the interest is genuine. They've made an inquiry at the very least. It's been confirmed by United. It's also been confirmed by Chelsea's end. Obviously, it's not gone as any further than that just yet. It would need Chelsea to agree to for any kind of deal to go ahead, but there is certainly interest from United's end.
What are you hearing, James? Are Chelsea happy for it to go ahead?
Well, they don't ideally want to sell him or loan him to a direct rival. I mean, there's a debate about whether Chelsea and United are even direct rivals anymore, but historically, of course, they are, and they don't really want to strengthen another rival for the top four. But I think Pulisic would quite like this move. I think that, you know, he's in a situation at Chelsea where he's become a little frustrated under Thomas Tuchel. He didn't play a lot last season. I think he started 13 Premier League games. Yes, he had injuries in amongst that, but he couldn't really get any rhythm. He was being played in various different positions. And I think he wants a bit of clarity and a bit of regular game time leading into what is obviously going to be a huge tournament for him in Qatar.
Most definitely. Stevie, would this make sense in your opinion?
It makes sense for Pulisic. What would you rather do? Would you rather go to a mid-table team?
Right. Well, this is a team.
But
that's
would you rather go to
the table? Isn't
I know.
It?
Yeah. But would you rather go to a historical side like Manchester United?
Right.
Or go to Southampton? It's a no-brainer.
Right.
It can only get better for you at Manchester United. And the fact is, he's the type of player they need right now. Somebody who will come in and who will give a bit of energy and a bit of excitement and be pleased to be there and actually just bust his way into the team and try and do something. They don't have anybody in the starting 11 right now that you think actually can't wait to get on the field and get going. So if there's one thing that Pulisic does is he gives energy, he looks as though he wants to do well. I mean, all the things that you need when you need a lift. I think absolutely this would give him a lift. And it would certainly help Manchester United out.
Would there not be a concern that every player in the last 12 years that's gone to Manchester United has got worse?
Well, there's a concern to that, but I think the other way to look at it is there are no players currently in Manchester United that are excited to be there.
Right.
Nobody's excited to be in Manchester United at this point. The cloud over Manchester United is dark. The storm is there and doesn't seem to be moving on. Christian Pulisic comes in and says, well, I'm excited to be here because, hey, I get to play. I have a chance. Maybe I get to compete. I actually have an opportunity to be on the field consistently. And so I am walking into the club, but I'm coming from a completely different point of view where I am excited that I'm in a different place, in a different setup that perhaps would allow me to display everything that I can be as a player and to maximize my potential. Whether that happens or not, it could be a variation of Ten Hag, the players, the club, and Christian Pulisic, and a mix of all of that coming together and allowing Christian Pulisic to maximize that potential. But he is coming, at the very least, with excitement and the right attitude, which right now at Manchester United, there's none of that.
He's got a get out of jail free card as well.
But he's at United.
Well, if it doesn't go well, then you know what? you've walked into a horrible situation.
Right.
If you go to Southampton and it doesn't go well, that absolutely
why
doesn't
do you
any
why do you keep going to Southampton?
Yeah. Well, because...
breaking news?
To Southampton.
Are you breaking news?
Frank, does this make sense to you?
Well, that's complicated. For Christian Pulisic, if it's to go on loan, I would say it makes sense in a way that if it doesn't work, he can go back to Chelsea and see for his future. And in the short term, as everybody can agree, you know, for the World Cup, it can be interesting for him. If it's to be sold there, no, it doesn't make sense. I think nobody wants to go to Manchester United right now because of the mess that we can see every day and all stories coming out. I would say that nobody would be individually interested to go to Manchester United, but if you have some a group of guys say, okay, a bunch of guys say, okay, we all go together, maybe we can change something. But if you go one by one, nobody wants to go because you're not going to sort anything out. In Manchester United end, I would say that Christian Pulisic proved during the year that he went through in Dortmund and Chelsea that he was a good player, but he's not a leader. And what they're looking for is somebody who can hold the game, you know, take the leadership in the middle of the park and lead really the players. But I don't know if somebody is available to do that, can be able to do that, would be listened by the others. I don't think Pulisic has the shoulder to handle that. He never proved that before in the two previous clubs that he played for. I don't see him doing that for Manchester United right now.
James, why hasn't it worked out for Pulisic?
I think there's a number of reasons. I remember when Frank Lampard said the last season that he was at the club that they were having to devise a specific training regime for Pulisic to avoid him getting injured. And that's always an alarm bell, really, when you think, yeah, he can't train with the group as normal. We can't ask him to just go and do what everyone else is doing on a week-by-week basis. And so I think there have been concerns about his injury record for quite some time. I think also in his defence, he's been played in a number of different positions. He's played as a false nine. He's played as one of the two tens in the 3-4-2-1. He's also played as a wing-back at times. And he's a player, having interviewed him a couple of times for ESPN, he is a confidence player. He's a rhythm player. He needs to play consistently week in, week out. When he's had his best performances for Chelsea, they've come in runs. They've come when he's been playing every week. And it just looks as though at the moment that he's going to be an impact player at best for Chelsea this season. He has come on in both of the Premier League games, but, you know, the writing's on the wall for him, really. When you think about the business that they've done, when they signed Raheem Sterling, they tried to get Rafinha over the line. They're still looking to get at least one other attacking player in. Anthony Gordon, we know at Everton, he's a player that interests them. They're still looking for Aubameyang as well. So you sort of think, well, if they get those two, then where is it? How is he going to get in the team? How is he ever going to get a starting berth? And I do think the Tuchel system doesn't really suit him. You know, those attacking players are asked to interchange a bit more than, you know, you think, look at that game at Tottenham on Sunday. And you had those three forwards, they were all interchanging. Mount, you know, Havertz was playing through the middle, Mount would go and play there, then Sterling would play there. It's not really entirely playing to Pulisic's strength. So I think a fresh start might be best for everyone here.
Rob, is of course a number of players that have been linked to Manchester United. We'll talk about Chelsea a little later on with regards to who could come in and whether or not they need a striker. But let's focus on the names that have been bandied around regarding United's transfer targets at the moment, Rob. We understand that the De Jong deal isn't going to happen, despite the fact, of course, United have been chasing him for quite a large part of the summer. That's off. Rabiot's off. The latest ones are what? João Félix and Casemiro.
Well, yeah, and you know the way you just described that just shows exactly where United are in this transfer window. They are in a period where it looks like a scattergun approach, that they are trying desperately to get bodies in where they can, that the top targets that they've tried to sign throughout the summer are still at their club. Frankie de Jong was their main summer target. He's still at Barcelona. They desperately need a central midfielder. They desperately need a forward, which is why they've been linked with Christian Pulisic. They also need a backup goalkeeper. They need a right back. You know, you could argue that they need six players before the end of the window, which is unlikely to happen because, you know, they haven't done well throughout the summer. They've had months to plan for this. They had months to work with Ten Hag to get the right players in, and they're left scrabbling around at the end of the window. you know, it's there was a quote from Gary Neville years ago that you can find the clubs who are badly run by looking at the ones who are scrabbling around at the end of a window looking for players, and United are here again. You know, we've been here time and time again, and United find themselves in that same position that with time running out and the clock ticking, they are desperate for anyone, and that's where they find themselves at the moment.
Rob, why haven't they learnt their lesson? It's not brain surgery, is it? Get the players you want in early, and then you've got the summer to work with them.
Well, that's it. And, you know, United will tell you that doing transfer deals is very, very difficult. And it is. You know, it's not as easy as just you go and you ring a couple of clubs, you pay the money and the player arrives. You know, everyone knows it's not as easy as that. But all United's troubles, especially this summer, have been set against a window where City have gone and done their business very early. Liverpool have gone and done their business very early. Even Chelsea with Raheem Sterling seem to do it with minimal fuss. So all these other clubs seem to be able to do their business quietly and efficiently. And again, United are left scrabbling around. And it's not the first time, as you've just said. You know, we've been through this with David Moyes, with Louis van Gaal, with Jose Mourinho. You know, this isn't the first time. And it just shows that United, in terms of competing with their rivals, do not recruit well at all.
Who's to blame, Rob?
How long have you got? You know, the fans would point to the owners that they haven't made the right appointments in key positions. They've got a director of football in John Murtagh who is untested in that role at this level. They've got a technical director in Darren Fletcher who was a wonderful player, a wonderful midfielder for Man United. But in terms of a technical director, you know, hasn't had experience at a different club. He's been parachuted into a massive job at Man United. You also have to point the finger a little bit at Erik ten Hag that this recruitment this summer has his fingerprints all over it. You know, a lot of the players that they've been linked with have either worked with him in the past or have come from Holland or have been Dutch. You look at Frenkie de Jong or even the ones that they've signed. And Lissandro Martinez has come from Ajax. Tyrell Malacia has come from Holland as well. So, you know, you could spend all day talking about who's to blame for the mess at Man United. I suppose that the fans would say it begins and ends with the owners. You know, they've had 20-odd years as owners of Man United. And the one common denominator through all this, through the free fall of Manchester United, has been the owners. So it has to stop with them.
Aubameyang was also on that list, James. However, of course, Chelsea heavily linked to the Barcelona striker as well. Where do you think he's likely to end up?
If he has any say in it, he'll stay at Barcelona. But yeah, as we've seen already, Barcelona quite aggressively trying to push a few out. So who knows where we'll be in a couple of weeks. But it's interesting, Rob, talking about the Glazers being a constant there through 20 years. Chelsea are at the opposite end of the spectrum. They've got brand new owners, but they're also scrambling. And it's players like Aubameyang, who sort of would not really have been a serious target, I think, in the Roman Abramovich era. But because Thomas Tuchel has taken on more of a responsibility, he's now more directly involved in transfers. He's got a very close relationship with Aubameyang. The pair work very well together when they're at Dortmund. And that will be a tempting factor. I know that Aubameyang liked London. He was obviously kicked out of Arsenal quite abruptly. And that wasn't anything to do with, you know, feeling that he didn't belong in the Premier League or didn't like his lifestyle in London. So there is an obvious appeal there and with the manager. But I think having just gone to Barcelona, he wants to go and make his name there and make, you know, make a success of his time there and not be booted out after 6 months.
How likely, James, is it that we're sat here as the transfer window closes and Chelsea haven't brought in a striker?
Oh, I think Chelsea will do plenty of business between now and the deadline. I think the Anthony Gordon deal will probably happen. They're going to have to go quite a lot higher than they are at the moment. If they don't get Aubameyang, I think they will look at one or two other forward options because they know they're light in that position. And kind of taking it back to what we were talking about earlier with Pulisic, that situation is also linked to the striker situation because, you know, Pulisic, Ziyech and Hudson-Odoi are three players that are not getting in that starting lineup as it stands. They can't let all three of those go and not bring anyone in. They're just going to be too short. So you would think that with Hudson-Odoi, my understanding is that he's been told he can find another club. So if he's going, I think the Ziyech one is probably a little bit in limbo and Pulisic is even more in limbo.
Yeah.
Chelsea are going to do plenty of business before the deadline, believe me.
They need to, don't they, Frank? Because as it stands, everyone, I think, had them in the top four. They look light up front.
The need for me, and it's very crucial that they find somebody. It's been proven for the past like three years, I would say, that they're lacking a striker, and the Lukaku experience didn't work. And as it's been said, you know, Tuchel tried to have a rotation, you know, with players, but even during the game, players changing position and everything. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And what we saw last weekend against Tottenham was absolutely perfect, but the lack of strikers was shown as well, because they have so many chances that they couldn't score. You know, I thought that they will react in a positive way about Ronaldo when it was a possibility to get him, because in many aspects it would have been, I think, good football-wise, marketing-wise as well, merchandising-wise. But they didn't want to go for that. Now Lewandowski is at Barcelona. Ronaldo is, I don't know where, I don't know if he's going to come to Chelsea. I don't see Aubameyang fitting Chelsea because he's already 33. He showed to the world, and with all due respect for his father that I play with, but also for Pierre-Emerick, that he's on his way down. That's what it is. And we're talking about Chelsea. And Chelsea wants to win the Premier League. So that's sad to say that, and I know maybe it's unfair, and maybe Pierre-Emerick would be upset with my comment, but that's what it is, you know. And at a certain point, you have to pick the best striker in the world. You have Ronaldo, you have Lewandowski possibly, you try Lukaku last season. They have to find somebody. I don't know who's going to be available and who can fit in the way of thinking of Tuchel, because I think Ronaldo is not coming because of the experience that Tuchel had with Mbappe, Neymar, and the fact that he cannot deal with big stars.
Who fits into this Chelsea system?
Wow.
And if they don't get anyone, are they in serious danger of not getting top four?
The problem is, if Tuchel wants to play with this flowing front three,
right,
then you're not looking at a centre-forward, are you? You're looking at another Sterling type.
Okay. So like Anthony Gordon, someone like that?
Anthony Gordon's not anywhere near to going and playing every game for Chelsea.
Right.
Anthony Gordon's in the beginnings of his career. He's still a novice.
Right.
He's certainly not somebody that you sign and think, well, this guy can put the ball in the back of the net. So Tuchel has to decide how he's going to play. Because we all think he needs a centre-forward that scores goals.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do that, then this free-flowing front three isn't going to happen, because you need somebody through the pipe. So, number one, he has to decide what he's doing.
Does this team, as it stands, finish top four?
I'm going to say yes.
Right.
I think the way they played against Spurs, I mean, you can't argue. They were fantastic. They were way ahead of Spurs, who we all think is going to be the top four.
Right.
Yes, that piece is missing, but no. I would say right now still yes.
Quick question. Didn't they have a centre forward in place?
That's what he didn't. He wasn't happy. He didn't like it, Ali.
Well, I'm just because, and part of the reason as to why we discussed time and time again the failures of Romelu Lukaku, part of it was, hey, he doesn't quite fit what Thomas Tuchel wants to do on the field. And now they're looking for a centre striker. You had one there, couldn't quite work out, and now you go chase it. And when you go chasing, you make desperate decisions. If indeed this is going to be about free-flowing attacking football with rotations, then why are you considering getting rid of Christian Pulisic? Wouldn't he be another player that would float in and out of positions with freedom to go here and there and everywhere? Isn't that the profile of player? If you're looking for a center striker, you had a striker. You got rid of the guy. He's now at Inter. And if you're not looking for a center striker, then why are you trying to get rid of Christian Pulisic? It doesn't feel like this decision is being made with everything taken into consideration.
Before we let you go, James, last word on this to you.
Yeah, I think just one other factor here is that the reason why Lukaku went out on loan, of course, we all know he was unhappy at the club, but he doesn't press the ball. And what Tuchel wants from his central striker is to score goals and press the ball in equal measure. He wants an all-action... I mean, he wants Bobby Firmino. He wants someone like that, Bobby Firmino at his peak, who will go and press, who can drop deep, who can score goals. I mean, Firmino's not in the team. This is just coming off the top of my head. I don't have any information on this, but he wouldn't be the worst buy in the world if they wanted to panic in the last 2 weeks of the window and take someone off Liverpool's hands and give him a bit of money.
James, fantastic. What an exclusive. Yeah. Firmino to
Breaking
Chelsea.
News.
Almost a done deal, says James Ollie of ESPN FC. Appreciate it, James. Just a reminder, to keep up to date with all the latest transfer news, check out Transfer Talk over on the website. Meanwhile, lots to talk about on Football Americas, including the future of Serginho Dest and Christian Pulisic as well. Be sure to check it out. It's available now on ESPN+.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
In case you haven't seen this, Ronaldo on Instagram wrote, "They know the truth when they interview in a couple of weeks. The media telling lies. I've got a notebook. And in the last few months of the 100 news I made, only 5 were right. Imagine how it is. Stick with that tip." Oh. Right. Well, dear diary.
Yes.
Rob Dawson is still with us. Frank LaBeouf as well. Right, Rob. Let's start off with this 2 weeks thing. That seems a bit weird.
Yeah, very. The first question is, why wait 2 weeks? Also, this has been rumbling on for the best part of 2 months. You know, he's got a huge social media following. He's got millions of followers on Twitter and on Instagram. If he wants to put something right, then he's got the audience and the platform to do it. You know, if he doesn't want to leave Man United, just come out and say that you don't want to leave. This has been going on for months and months. It would have been very, very easy for him to solve this and to put it all to bed. And instead, we're still talking about it, still speculating. And you know, the reasons why he has to wait 2 weeks will only be known to him.
Well, I suppose in theory, at the end of the transfer window, we'll know where he is, and then he'll explain all in a lovely interview. Don't think it's with us.
What?
Rob, then there also seems to be conflicting stories coming out from United regarding whether or not they want to keep him.
Yeah, I mean, their stance all the way through the summer has been that he's not for sale, that he's got a year left on his contract, and they expect him to honour that. There was even talk earlier from Ten Hag that he could even extend his contract. The thing that's changed in the last couple of days is that there's a sense that that stance may be softening. That Ten Hag has looked at Ronaldo and realised how unhappy he is. You know, Ten Hag is very big on team unity. He needs everyone pulling together, particularly after the start of the season that they've had. And if one guy is desperate to leave, that affects the whole morale and the spirit in the dressing room. And there is a sense now that Ten Hag is starting to think that maybe the best thing for everyone is for Ronaldo to leave. That the issue that he's got is that if he does leave, who scores the goals? Because there aren't a lot of goals in that team as it is. He's already short up front, and you're letting a guy leave who is a proven goal scorer. Even last season, in a dreadful team, scored goals. So it's not as easy as Ten Hag just deciding that, you know, the time's right for him to go. It would need to be handled in the right way, and someone would probably have to come in. But there is a sense from United's end that maybe their stance about selling him or letting him go is softening slightly.
This is tricky, isn't it, Stevie? That balance, as Rob says, you know, he's the man who gets you all the goals, but he's also the man who's walking around making notes on everyone.
Well, the strange thing is that normally as a coach or a manager, you may have a problem guy.
Okay.
And so you have to think, for the greater good, do I get rid of this guy? It seems the problem they've got is they've got 4 or 5.
Right.
They just don't want to be there. So, is getting rid of just him going to change anything? I don't think it is. I think at the end of the day, you've got a superstar who really is not happy, who wants away.
Right.
I think sometimes Manchester United and Ten Hag have to say, you know what, forget everything else. We have to start again. And we have to clear the decks. And the first thing you have to do is build some team unity, build a team that is going to go out and fight together.
Okay. And so Ronaldo's not part of that plan.
To do that, you have to get rid of people like Ronaldo.
Right.
Because he's going to scupper all that. That's where they are now. They have to start again. And the first thing you have to do as a coach is get everybody fighting together as a unit. That's the very start.
Where are the fans on this, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, that is interesting, because usually when a Man United player makes it very, very clear they want to leave, the United fans will let him have it, you know, particularly the away fans. But what we've seen in the first two games of the season is Ronaldo get very, very good receptions. You know, he got a great reception before the Brighton game at Old Trafford. and he got a great reception as well at Brentford before the game, obviously not after the game, after the disaster that unfolded there. I think that's probably part of the legacy that he's developed at Old Trafford more than anything. And we saw it, you know, towards the end of last season that Paul Pogba got an awful lot of criticism from match-going United fans because he'd made it very, very clear he wanted to leave, and Ronaldo hasn't really been subjected to that. You know, they've got very, very long memories at Man United, and they will never forget what Ronaldo did for them before he went to Real Madrid. You know, he almost single-handedly scored the goals to win Premier League titles. He won the Champions League. He became the best player in the world at Old Trafford, and they won't ever forget that. Obviously, there's a little bit of disappointment that this appears to be ending in the way that it will do. But again, they won't ever forget what he's done, and he will remain a club legend regardless of what happens in the next 2 weeks of the window.
Frank, this must be horrible for a dressing room.
It is horrible, and again, you know, they don't learn their lessons, and we always say that, you know, if you're a coach, a general manager or chairman, if a player doesn't want to stay, you cannot keep him. That's the rule number one, because that's going to be a problem in the dressing room. And I 100% agree with Stevie. If there are like 5-6 players who don't want to stay, put them out of the dressing room, start over with something, because at the end of the day, 2 games, 2 losses, the last in the Premier League table. So what can be worse? Nothing. Now, nothing can go worse than that. So get rid of the players you don't want, sell them, and start over. And I'm sure he's going to get better, because he only can get better. But he's not. But he can get worse if you keep the players who don't want to stay. So the dressing room, as Stevie said, has to be clean. You have to clean the desk and make sure that you can work. You can properly work. That's what it is for Ten Hag. Make sure you work properly. So get rid of Ronaldo if he doesn't want to stay, and if others don't want to stay, do the same.
It must be so toxic, Ali.
Absolutely, especially when you have a guy that keeps a journal of the 100 stories and only 5 of them are true. If this is what you're doing with your spare time, come on, Cristiano. Now, in terms of maybe there are 5-6 players that don't want to be there, right? Okay, I'm willing to accept that. But there's only one Cristiano Ronaldo.
Right.
And he is the one with the highest profile. And this soap opera of Cristiano Ronaldo will not end and will not go away unless he is gone. Unless he gone and gone for good from Manchester United. Because this conversation will continue to recycle itself one way or another. And I said from the very beginning, one of the things that Ten Hag had to get right from the very start, if indeed this was a rebirth, a restart project, was get rid of the baggage. And Cristiano Ronaldo, his presence alone, if he is walking around sulking, if he is walking around wanting to leave, that is gigantic baggage. So there is no other solution here other than see you later.
Right.
Thanks for what you've done for the club, but the club is going in a different direction. And as Frank just so eloquently put it just now, it cannot get any worse.
Yeah.
You're last of last of last. Last. Last in the Premier League. So at this point, you have to start looking ahead and not hanging on to the past.
Rob, we know how leaky this dressing room is as well. That has certainly been evident over the last couple of seasons, and already suggestions that some of the players aren't happy with Ten Hag's tactics because it's not suiting their skill set. You can't make this up.
No, I mean, it does seem it's one thing after another. And it's a soap opera. It's not a football club anymore. You know, that may sound silly to say, but I mean, you'll be on this show for the next, you know, days and weeks talking about Man United, because, you know, they're a circus at the moment, and this is just another example. You know, the stories from the dressing room, they happen because the team aren't winning games. You know, if this season started with a couple of wins or even a couple of positive performances, you know, the players would be happier, there would be a bit of momentum, but there's not. There's absolutely nothing. All the positivity from the summer tour of Thailand and Australia has been washed away into disastrous results, particularly at Brentford. You know, the manner of that collapse has caused minor panic around Old Trafford about the state of the football club. You know, and there have been questions about Ten Hag already. There are questions about, you know, why he persists with playing David De Gea in goal, even though he wants to build from the back, and David De Gea doesn't seem to be able to pass the ball out from the back. You know, why he picked Christian Eriksen as a false nine against Brighton when he'd never done that job before. You know, why he was so quick to reinstall Harry Maguire as captain when there was obviously an issue around Maguire's captaincy last season. So, You know, all these things are bubbling away in the background, and when a team isn't winning games, these stories tend to find a way into the media. The only way to stop it, the only way to solve it, is by winning games. And unfortunately for Man United at the moment, you know, there are fans there that can't see where the next win is coming from. You know, they can't even see where the next goal is coming from. It's that bad at the moment.
What do you do, Stevie? Hit Ten Hag, just go, I'm going back to Ajax.
The only thing I can think of is you have to look at what you have in terms of the players that you have.
Right.
And decide not how you want to play, but how do we get a result? If it means you stick 10 on the goal line and stop every shot, then you do it.
Right.
You have to figure out how you get a result. And if it means that the goalkeeper's kicking it 60 yards and you're fighting for it, then that's what you do.
Right.
And Ten Hag is going to have to be brave, because if that's the only option he has in order to get a result, he better be brave enough to do it. All this nonsense about sticking to your principles is complete and utter garbage.
Right.
If you're losing football games, game after game after game. Nobody wants to hear it. All this nonsense about, well, I don't mind if we lose a goal, pass it out the back, because I've given the players responsibility. Shut up. I don't want to hear that nonsense. If it happens once, then OK, we'll give you that. But when you know it's going to happen time after time, and it's happening time after time, you stop doing it and you start doing things where you're going to be in a game, where you're going to be competitive, where you might have to start off getting a draw before you get the win.
Right.
And then you start building something and you start putting a team together that may not have the best players, may not look great on the eye, but it's getting results. So Ten Hag has to be brave here. Do what you have to do to get the result, not how we play the game and all this snobby nonsense.
Oh. To your point, Stevie, then why are you asking David De Gea to be playing out of the back and to be good with his feet,
right,
when he has never been comfortable with the ball in his feet? So know what you have. You have players in front of you. Know what you have and use them. Yes, with your philosophy, but be flexible enough to where, hey, this guy doesn't do that job well, that guy doesn't do that job well, how about we then adapt to what we have available? And then, once you gain confidence, once you've put together a couple of results, then you can start getting fancy. But until then, now you're going to get creative? No chance.
I have to say, I'm a little worried that Ten Hag won't do that.
Right.
Because this is the same guy who played Martinez at centre-back against two players at Brentford who can't wait to get smashing into centre-backs.
Yeah.
And he played Eriksen and Bruno Fernandes in the middle of the park against a team that gets in your face and tries to physically do you. That's a worry.
Before I let you go, Rob, just one more thing. We're hearing reports that Sir Jim Ratcliffe, who's one of the richest people in Britain, put in that bid for Chelsea when they were up for sale, could be interested in getting involved with Manchester United. How likely a scenario is that to happen?
Yeah, well, sources close to Jim Ratcliffe have confirmed to us that he is interested in buying Man United, or at least investing in Man United, if it's for sale. And that's the one key caveat here. He is ready, apparently, to talk to the Glazers if they want to talk. And so far, they haven't shown absolutely no desire to talk at all about selling the club. They are looking for what would be a minority investment, because there's so much to do at Man United at the moment. They need to redevelop Old Trafford. They need to redevelop Carrington. And to do that, they need investment. And so they are looking for minority investment, and you know, maybe that opens the door for Sir Jim Ratcliffe to start talking to them. But he's made it quite clear to us that if he was to invest in Man United, he would want eventually to take over completely, and that is a very, very big if on the side of the Glazers, because you know, since they took over in 2005, they have shown no real desire to sell the club, because it's been so successful for them. For what they want, it's been successful. They've managed to take money out regularly. The club has continued to make money, even though they've not been winning on the pitch. You know, Ed Woodward even famously said that they don't need to win to make money, and so far Man United have shown that that's true. So yeah, I mean, a little bit of good news possibly for Man United fans, that a guy with genuine wealth in Sir Jim Ratcliffe is looking to invest or to buy Man United. But again, it feels like a long road, and it would need the Glazers to show some willingness to sell first.
Good stuff, Rob. As always, thank you very much for joining us for a lot more on Manchester United and where they go from here. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. I want to take you back to May. This is what Kylian Mbappe said on World Cup qualifying, the difficulty of it. Argentina and Brazil don't have that level of competition in South America. The football is not as developed as in Europe. Oh. That is why most recent World Cup winners have been Europeans. Why are we bringing this up? Because it's the first time, really, we've heard Chiche, the Brazilian coach, respond to it. In an interview with ESPN FC, he said maybe Mbappe is talking about these Nations League clashes or European friendlies, but not World Cup qualifiers. We don't have, with all due respect, Azerbaijan to play. We don't have anyone that gives you a break. The qualifiers here have a much higher degree of difficulty than the group stage of European qualifying. Frank LaBeouf is still with us, but I feel drawn to our South American panelist. I think at the time we discussed this, when Mbappe said this, and we kind of questioned where it was coming from, what Chiche is saying is right, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the comments by Kylian Mbappe are shrouded by ignorance, really. It's just uninformed. It's not knowing the difficulties of qualifying in CONMEBOL. You simply just do not know. You may have your opinion, but it's an uninformed opinion. Now, if indeed Mbappe wants to go down this direction, and raise your hand if you're done listening to Kylian Mbappe talk about everything and anything there is. It seems like everything that comes up now has to do with Kylian Mbappe, penalty kick controversy, technical directors, coaches, contracts. Apparently Kylian Mbappe is making decisions for everything, including how World Cup qualifiers should be in South America and why they're not competitive. I'm going to throw this at Kylian Mbappe. In France's World Cup qualifying group this past qualifying cycle, you had Ukraine, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Finland, Kazakhstan. So, and France, of course. Which one of those teams could actually challenge France to go to the World Cup? Maybe Ukraine. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, zero chance.
Yep.
So you already know that at worst in your group, you're going to finish second. At worst. And you will have yet another opportunity to go into the playoffs. France obviously had no issues whatsoever beating these teams and qualifying onto the World Cup. So from their own experience, not something that I've made up, from their own experience, factual information, I would say to Kylian Mbappe, what are you talking about?
Right.
What are you talking about? Nonsense. It's nonsense. The lack of awareness and understanding of the difficulties in South America is because you don't know the challenges of going and actually trying to sprint up in La Paz, or sprint up in Quito, or the heat of Venezuela, or the humidity of Colombia, or the grass that is this high, or the logistics of traveling around. You don't know these things. And as much as Kylian Mbappe is an incredible talent, just shut it. Shut up.
Oh.
Honestly.
Oh. Yeah. This is what Messi had to say about it, speaking of it before. Many times we talked about that in Spain. When we returned from a qualifier, we told them, you don't know how difficult it would be for you to qualify for the World Cup if you had to go there, the altitude, in the heat, in Venezuela.
Hey!
it was seemed a silly thing for him to say at the time, Frank, and obviously Chiche has kind of doubled down on that now.
Yeah, it's sometimes you have to learn a lesson, and it's been one for me. Sometimes you have to shut up. I didn't shut up enough, as Craig mentioned. But I guess I'm not the only one, and Kylian doesn't have to answer to every question he's been asked. And because, of course, I don't know any of those countries, and I've never played there, where it's been so it's very simply hard to breathe when you play football. So, yeah, sometimes when you don't know, you better shut up, because it doesn't help you, it doesn't serve you, and you find yourself in a very difficult situation. Kylian Mbappe is a very smart person, he's very mature, but he made a mistake, like everybody can make in some comments. I think we should forget about it, because clearly he doesn't know what he's talking about, because like me, I wouldn't know none if I would have not been asked that question. So it's better to forget about it and accept the fact that it's very hard for any national team to qualify for the World Cup in South America because of the weather, the temperature, the humidity, some stuff that we don't really know in Europe.
But the European teams have dominated of late, as we saw in that graphic. Last four World Cups are won by a European side.
Okay. So does that mean that they're doing so because they're far more developed?
Because they're more competitive games.
They have
qualifying. That's
right.
Fine.
Okay. I think I just went through the qualifiers in France, did I not? I don't know how else I can say this other than the fact that if you're killing Mbappe, go back to playing the game. This is what you do best. You're a unique talent that gets people off their seats because of that unique talent. I do not care about your opinions about South American qualifiers when you have no knowledge, no experience going through that process. If you don't understand it, if you haven't been through it, then your opinion is uninformed at best.
I could be wrong, but I would say the majority of the players that play for these countries in South America play in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So how can they be underdeveloped if the players are playing in Europe?
Yeah.
He's talking complete nonsense.
Well, you can go across the board to his teammates. His teammates at PSG. Well, where do you think Lionel Messi's from? Where is Marquinhos from? Where's Neymar from? Right? Okay, so, and then he would make the argument, well, Brazil and Argentina. Okay. I would suggest, and if he wants to go into a history lesson, we can go on a history lesson with him and take this ride. Nowadays, currently, only Argentina and Brazil realistically have a chance of winning a World Cup coming out of South America, right? But Uruguay, whatever you may think of the history of this game, Uruguay, you know how many World Cups they have? The same amount as France. Two. Uruguay has won two World Cups. Now, whatever you may think of what the World Cup was back then as to compare it now, it's not important to me. Because if we're going to talk about history and we're going to talk about facts, that's facts. That's not Brazil and Argentina. That's Uruguay. Same World Cup numbers of wins as France.
World Cup's, what, less than 100 days away?
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Yes, it is.
Very exciting. Just a reminder, you can download our daily podcast, which is available over on the website. Plenty of bonus material there for you.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's been 30 years since the Premier League started. Of course, before that, it was the First Division. Ian Dark goes down memory lane. Great article from Ian over on the website. What do you remember about it, Stevie? Do you remember, like, was there a sense among the players that a big change was happening?
No, not really. I mean, everybody's talking about the iconic moments in the past 30 years.
Right.
But the biggest thing I think about is actually off the field on the terraces. The whole culture changed. You know, from the problems on the terraces with fans, it just became a family thing.
Right.
You know, it'd always been dads and lads.
Yeah.
But not kids, not girlfriends, not sisters, not mothers, not grannies. All of a sudden, it was all inclusive, and it was friendly, and it was safe.
It was access. It was access to games. So, like, someone growing up then, because before you only had it, you had Match of the Day, which just showed the games on the Saturday, didn't it? And the highlights, FA Cup was domestic, but you didn't get too many league matches when that came along. But I didn't have cable, Ali.
No.
So that was it.
Does that mean that you did not get access?
I did not. I did not get it at all. Trust me. That is it. ESPN FC will be back on your screens tomorrow. Stay tuned, though. Extra Time will be next. Frank back along with the boys to answer some of your tweets.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Stevie Nicol, Ali Moreno and Frank LaBeouf with us. And what a public service we offer here on the show. Now, do you remember a couple of weeks ago, someone wrote in and said that she was going to take her husband to a Liverpool game and they asked Stevie which pub they should go to. They sent us a tweet in response and they went to that very pub, Stevie. Hey. There they are.
Looking.
They say thank you very much to Stevie. Mia, we're here at the Arkles. We mentioned your name and got some free beer.
Of course!
Hey! Hey! Woo! There you go. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah.
Imagine if you go into a pub and mention Craig's name. Get out.
In Glasgow, they would say, pick a window.
Yes, exactly, and throw you through it. Oh, very nice. There we go. Stevie, which would be a more stressful job? Coaching a major team like Manchester United, where it just seems like a lost cause this early in the season, or a team like PSG, where the star players seem to have a special set of rules for themselves and seem to have a direct line to the ownership?
I'm going to have to go with Man United.
Right.
Because at least PSG win some games.
Yeah.
Man United don't win any games and they're a complete and utter shambles, a nightmare to coach. Clearly, nobody's listening to a word anybody says. You just seems like you're just banging your head against the wall.
Right.
That would drive you insane.
More on PSG. Frank, given the drama there at the moment, if you're the coach, how should he go about getting the team together away from the distractions this early into the season?
Well, it's impossible. It's what it is. It's Far East, and it seems to me, I think Thierry Henry mentioned that, you know. They won their first two games with 5 goals each game. Everybody seems to be happy, but you find stories about Mbappe. Last year it was about Neymar. I mean, it's always something happening there, and you can't avoid players to be aware of what people are seeing around the Parc des Princes. So, you just hope that everything's going to work well. You just try to make them really focused on what they have to do and what they have to achieve. but you cannot avoid, you know, people talking because it's a big club. You have a bad, let's say, bad, very bad history, you know, in their past years, you know, with crazy defeats. So you cannot avoid people talking. You cannot avoid players knowing that they're talking. You just have to work hard, and that is how Christophe Galtier does. You know, everybody seems to be happy. They want to play. They want to win. So far, so good.
Frank, obviously, we know that you love Kylian Mbappe. You've spoken to him many times. But given what he did at the weekend, when he just stopped running, when he didn't get the ball, that has got to be hugely disappointing to see somebody do that and someone at that level do that.
Yes, it was, and I already say that, you know. I love the guy, I love the personality, I love what he showed last season when he was booed, you know, when Messi signed, you know, during that game, I was at the Parc des Princes and saw the fans booing him, and he had a fantastic season. Now he has new responsibilities, and I already talked about that, where I think that, yes, he's the leader of the squad, and he's young, and comparing to Neymar and Messi, he didn't achieve much, you know, club-wise, you know, because he didn't win the Champions League. But he has the leadership that he has had a hard time to cope with right now, because he's been injured, because we are at the beginning of the season, so we have to wait a little bit. But he's the way I've seen him behaving, you know, where you didn't give him the ball, you rather give the ball to Messi, and you stop playing and you do that. No, that you cannot do that. You cannot do that. You have so many young team players, you know, who are watching you because you're an example. So that's not what you have to do. And I'm sure his parents told him. I'm sure Christophe Galtier told him. And I'm pretty sure, I'm deeply hoping that this is the last time we see Kylian Mbappe doing that.
Would you have taken him off half time? Or is it not worth what could then happen?
I think taking him off at half time would be the last straw. It would have to have happened before.
Right.
Again, I can only go what would happen in my day. If somebody had done that in the Liverpool tide, he would have had 10 other players and maybe some other guys on the bench all over him.
But we know that doesn't happen. Mm. We know that's not the dynamic of this
How
locker room.
Stop them.
Well, that's the question.
Is the guy's gotten too big? If he can go back into that dressing room and nobody, or even if anybody does say something to him, it has no effect, then it's not changing. You better get used to it.
Frank, am I speaking out of turn in that I can't believe anyone at half-time would have, as Stevie said, back in the Liverpool day, or I'm sure in the Chelsea days, have confronted him about that?
Of course, but it's another era. It's with other generation. I'm sure Dennis Wise would have gone crazy, and straight go to Kylian Mbappe and maybe fought with him, and I would have done the same. And I don't know.
Is it fair to say, Frank? Like, for example, I could imagine a Jordan Henderson or a James Milner or a Kevin De Bruyne. Or a Luca, you know, one of those players in one of those big locker rooms. I feel if someone had done that at those sides, I think there would have been much more confrontation that there is with, as opposed to what's happening at PSG at the moment.
Maybe, but you're not sure. Maybe a Milner will do something. I'm pretty sure he will do something. But the others that you mentioned, I'm not sure. We belong to a very individual generation. They don't care. They play their game. They do what they have to do. And what happens to Mbappe doesn't even click into their faith that they play together. They just don't care. They don't want to be involved in something because the media is going to talk, social network is going to talk, because they don't care. They want to just do their part, their statistic, their game. And if he doesn't want to run, I don't care. That was different at our time.
This may be naive in some ways, but back in Stevie's day, I'm not suggesting that they had team bonding exercises, but the fact that they would all go out for a beer is team bonding. Mm. In my day, there were a lot of this team bonding stuff, right? But we've gotten to the point now to that team bonding stuff, exercises and routines that you go, or camps or whatever you want to call it, where you're actually spending time to get to know each other so that when it gets tough on the field, you're able to lean on these relationships and trust these relationships so that we can all get out of this together. It feels like these players are above all that.
Right.
That we've gone beyond that, and now we're just hoping that somehow, magically, these groups and these pieces, they all fit together inside a locker room, and that magically, whenever things get difficult, that they're not going to fracture.
But we shouldn't forget.
You just
mentioned the two teams that have that culture.
Right.
They have superstar players, but they have that culture. You mentioned Jordan Henderson, it's a Liverpool thing. You mentioned De Bruyne, it's City. It's the culture at their club. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be many clubs that have that culture,
right,
where people like Mbappe, and to a less extent, in so-called lesser clubs, you have somebody there who kind of does what he wants, and nobody challenges them.
Go on, Frank.
Yes, there was that movie at the time I was playing, and that was at Chelsea. Do you remember that movie, Any Given Sunday, that American football movie with Al Pacino, where the quarterback, and I forget the name of the actor who plays in Ray.
Jamie Foxx.
Thank you, Jamie Foxx. He played himself, doesn't respect the others, and the first line, they fed up, so they open the lines, and he's being smashed during the game, because he doesn't want to listen to them, and he learns his lesson. And it's a fantastic movie to explain how sports, collective sport, works.
I don't know
if any of those players have seen that movie. I showed it to Ranieri because the speech of Al Pacino before the game is a piece of heart of how you motivate your players. But that movie is a real motivation of how you play together and how you accept the others and how you fight for the others. But I'm not sure it's a movie who could be a hit in that in a new generation.
Just going back to your team bonding, is it paintball? What sort of things have you done?
Well, golf tournaments, but paintball.
Yeah, painting.
No, painting.
Oh, okay.
paintball, yes. Look, and Stevie would have done some of these things, like in preseason, you'll do certain things that just kind of, you're done with two a days or whatever, and then you go and do something that is fun for everybody.
Right. Did you ever do that at the Revs? Didn't you take everyone to Cancun for spring break? Well, that was pre-season.
Right.
That in itself is team bonding right there.
Hey, listen, all you do is that. You don't have to do anything. What more do you want?
Where are we? Stevie. Oh, it's a good one. Would you rather see Liverpool win the Premier League or United get relegated?
Ooh. Oh, no, it's an easy one, that. Right. I see Liverpool win the Premier League.
What about Liverpool win the Premier League, but England have to win the World Cup?
No, I still want Liverpool to win the
Premier
League. Yeah, I can get over it. I can get over England winning the World Cup.
I don't know, you haven't got over it very well.
But you've already won it, so what does it matter?
Okay.
You've already got it.
Yeah.
So if you get it again, so what?
Yeah, so what? Should be cheering us on?
No. Never said that.
Ali, which should happen? Trade De Gea and get a goalie able to play out of the back, or should Ten Hag stop pretending that playing out of the back will ever work?
With De Gea in goal, you cannot pretend that this guy all of a sudden is going to be Ederson with his feet. That's just not going to happen. So don't ask him to do a job that he hasn't proven over the course of his career that he's comfortable doing. He can do a job, but not the job. So if you're Ten Hag and this is going to be your starting goalkeeper, then hey, do the basics. But if you're ever in question, ever in doubt, you put it over there in the 20th row and then we deal with it afterwards.
Stevie, what are your thoughts on Van Dijk's form recently? Gave away a penalty against Fulham, could have closed down Zaha easily against Palace for their goal, but decided to slow down instead. Is it just slow starter, or is he passing his best?
No. Listen, he made a huge error in the first game of the season. I don't think he could have done anything about Zaha's goal. I mean, in my opinion, he did as much as he could.
Right.
He got as close as he could. But we have to remember that everybody's human. And you can't be at your very best all the time.
Okay.
And everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have little periods where you're just not at your best. Oh. It happens to everybody.
Very forgiving.
Well, sometimes you get away with it, Dan, and sometimes you don't.
Right.
And obviously the times you get away with it is when either the player misses the shot or the keeper saves it and everybody forgets about it. But when it hits the back of the net, then everybody remembers and then they start looking at you. So it's just one of those things.
And last question is for Stevie, but before we go to that, we've got to ask Frank about his birds.
Oh.
Well, my birds. What do you want to know about my birds? My birds have finished. You're talking the flying birds?
Yes, because you were killing them last week.
No.
He's got an electric shock thing because they were getting into his thatched roof.
Ooh.
So if it gets near his house, it gets a shock.
It's funny that the day after the show, I found a dead bird, but not close to the main house. I thought about you, and I was so sad that I buried him, and I made a little prayer for that little bird. But it's nothing to do with my electrical, you know, prevention stuff, you know. And again, I don't kill birds.
You just electrocute them.
How many sections are in this house? That's the main house, and then there are other places.
Hey, won the World Cup, eh? Won the World Cup.
Well, can you know, I thought you can do things like put like fake owls or fake animals and stuff on the roof.
Yeah, why can't you have stick a fake owl up on it instead of killing them?
Me? Are you kidding me? No. I don't touch. I work for PETA. You know, I try to defend domestic animals, but also every animals. I hate when people, you know, hurt animals.
But can you put
crazy,
like a scarecrow, so something scary on top of the roof to scare them away?
I was serious about the owls, but
yeah, like an owl.
They use an owl.
Picture of Craig.
No. But again, the thing that I put around the house is because I explained last year I have a thatch roof. That's what we explained. And the thing is more for the rodents to go underneath the thatch roof and start, you know, having babies and everything and killing all the thatch roof. And I gave you the price of the thatch roof last time. And so I don't want to pay like every year that amount of money. So I prevent everything. It's just make sure that they don't go there, but it doesn't kill any animals.
There
what kind
go.
Of roof is this?
It's a thatched roof, so it's like made of... What's it made? I don't even know what it is. It's $120,000 to get it replaced.
Oh.
There you go. So it's kind of made of straw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But think of little pigs. Have you ever had a thatched roof?
Don't be stupid.
final question. Oh, go on, Frank. What did you want to say?
No. Maybe I will think about doing my roof of shepherd's pie. Maybe Stevie will love it.
Oh, yes. Then you need a big fence to stop Stevie getting on it.
He'll fight through it. I'll get there.
You'd have to replace that pretty regularly.
Yes. Final question. Start, bench, and drop the following managers if they're managing your team right now, Stevie. Gerrard, Arteta, Vieira.
I'd start Vieira right now.
Yeah.
But didn't Arteta just beat Vieira?
Do you know Dan?
Yeah, when he leans back.
What he does is he asks you a question.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a trap.
He doesn't want your answer. He wants the answer he wants to hear.
Yes, yeah. But you know, you know you're in trouble when he goes like this and then leans back and goes,
"What?" And he's got that little smart.
Yes, that smirk.
Smarty pants.
Yeah.
Ooh, did he not just beat his team? Ooh.
Just providing facts to the table. That's it.
I'll tell you what then. When's the last time Arteta got
come
a point
on, Vieira doesn't have
When's
the
When's the last
same
time he got a point at Anfield?
Yeah.
But they're not. It's not Klopp's not in this. Why are you bringing up Liverpool? Liverpool have got nothing to do with this conversation.
Did Vieira not? Is he not in charge of Crystal Palace?
There it is.
Oh,
magical.
magical. The magical week.
Sorry, how did Arteta get on last year at Anfield?
Oh, dear. Well, I'm sure Vieira got bad at Anfield last year as well.
Getting a little misdirection. What?
How did he get on last week, Arteta? Vieira.
Vieira lost.
Yeah. Hold on. Can you read the question again, the last bit?
Gerard Arteta Vieira.
No, the last bit of the question.
Bench, drop the following managers if they're managing your team right now.
Oh, right now. Oh, sorry, right now.
Yes.
Right now. So what was the last result Vieira got?
A draw.
At Anfield.
What was the last result Arteta got?
Against Liverpool at Anfield, when nobody gave him a chance, but they got a point at Anfield. Oh, yeah. So right now, I'm going with Patrick Vieira.
You're Vieira? Yeah. Who's second?
Yeah, who you mentioned.
Who's second? Well, I guess I've got to go with Arteta.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
And then Gerrard.
People say you're anti-Arsenal. I don't know where they get it from, Stevie.
They say I'm anti-Arsenal.
Yeah. Right now. Toronto Anfield doesn't count, sorry.
Liverpool have lost three times to Arsenal under Arteta, apparently.
Wow.
Well, clearly somebody just told you that in your ear.
Of course they did.
You had no idea.
But the fact that I had no idea still doesn't make it. What are you going to rally for? What are you
doing? Right now. Who would you pick right now? Not last year, the year before, and the year before that.
Keep digging, son.
And by the way,
yep.
I'm assuming Arteta's wins were when he was at Manchester City.
No, it's when he was at Arsenal.
No, you don't know that. You're just saying that. Somebody's just went in
here
and said that.
It wasn't Arsenal.
No, you've no idea. You're just saying that.
No, it's the truth.
That.
I do. They're telling me.
No, you don't.
They do.
Come on, let me tell you when.
The voice is in my head.
Community Shield.
When was that?
Start of last season.
Oh, God, here we go, back there. Black and white tellies as well.
Black and white tellies. Yeah.
Did you see how happy he was when he got the information?
Oh, no.
I love it. Yeah. Anything you'd like to say, Frank?
There you go, I'll find you.
No, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm going to go
Frank,
to bed.
You
I'm
pick?
Happy. I see you're in a... Oh, I would pick... I have to admit that Arteta did a very good job, but I was very doubtful when he signed and the first result that he had. Don't forget that he's always been sacked, after 4 or 5 months. And after that, I say that he did a very good job. But I would put Patrick because of the possibilities that he had, you know, financially, you know, you cannot compare. So Patrick Vieira, Arteta, and Steven Gerrard.
There we go. Where's Vieira from?
Rest my case.
Where's he from,
Your Honor.
Vieira?
Allez la France!
Oh, yes. That is it.
Yes.
That brings us.
Oh, listen, you. Arteta's for Spain and your Real Madrid weighs you.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. You've got to go for the Spanish, but I used to live in Spain. Yeah, I lived in Real Madrid. Yeah.
Surely I would go for the Englishman.
Yeah.
Being English.
Well, you can't argue for him, can you?
I have
Good
a question.
That.
How come Arteta was doing this when he was in Spain?
Yeah. By the way, how can you get speakers and have them going during training?
And
there it is.
There we go.
And there it is.
Seriously.
There it is.
Come on.
They're top of the table at the moment.
There's a connection.
Frank, did you see that? When Arteta had the speakers on.
No.
He had the speaker. What did you think?
No, I didn't see that. I'm sorry. I didn't see that.
What happened was, Arsenal
were
training, right? And he had the speakers.
All or Nothing is a documentary.
Yeah, the documentary called All or Nothing. I've only seen the start of it, actually. And what he did was, he got two speakers by the side of the training pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And when Arsenal started training, when he blew his whistle, he pressed the button and they had You'll Never Walk Alone playing through the speakers. Mm. I mean, like, seriously?
No.
That's what he did, Frank.
For which reason?
Well, because his players were going to be playing against Liverpool at Anfield. And he wanted them to get used to the atmosphere. Seriously?
Oh, wow.
That's what
I
thought.
Yeah, that's very nice. Very clever. Well done.
That's weird, isn't it? Seriously.
That brings us to the end of today's show.
Thank you very much. Well, they've beaten them three times under Arteta.
A community shield, by the way.
Yeah, one was
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. I've got a couple of days off now,
hey!
Stevie.
So there you are. See, that's why he's in this sort of mood.
Oh, I'm going to wash my smarty pants.
Yeah.